Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 3, 20, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. We take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness is what we do. I muttered it, and I don't want to mutter it. I want people to know what this show is about.
Yep. God,
damn it.
Up top.
Off top. It's Friday, January 12th, 2024.
You know what that is.
Oh, Miles.
Hey.
Do I know what that is?
If you've got auburn hairs and that little bit of a red tinge, guess what? It's Kiss a Ginger Day. And it's also National Marzipan Day. Look, all my almond lovers, I got a lot of almond lovers in my life. And we fuck with the marzipan. Not like the blocks of it, but when it's in a pastry, I like that. Also, National Curry Chicken Day, National Pharmacist Day. I hear you're shorthanded at the pharmacy, though. Not a lot of pharmacy assistants out there these days. It's hard, but we see you. Thank you.
We see you, pharmacists. Mm-hmm. We see you, gingers, and we're coming for you with kiss lips. And you legally have to let us kiss you, because that's the day.
Yeah, could you imagine? You know there are some weird-ass bosses out there who are going to learn.
It's the law!
It's kiss a joke. What was I supposed to do? Hug you? No, I follow directions. What? Why are you calling the cops?
First of all, it's very respectful to refer to you as a ginger. Second of all, I get to kiss you. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Dig a big hole where you work. Now place where think about a chill ass tunnel. Wonder why you haven't before. That is courtesy of Willie K. A little stand REM tunnel. Feeling the call of the tunnel, folks. The tunnels are calling. I wanna just crawl around in the sewers. I wanna build my own sewers.
Some weird Ninja Turtle shit going on.
I want to get on some weird Ninja Turtle
I want my
shit.
Dad to be a rat. And I'll eat his pizza.
You know, the Ninja Turtles are like really about found family when you come down to
it. Yeah, truly. Wow.
People love to tell you things are about found family. Anyways, yeah. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Miles Gray. I don't know if I'm a time traveler. I've been in a tunnel too long, but I'm still jet lagged, Joan Namath, because I could care less about my sleep pattern struggling or my toddler's sleep struggling. It is keeping me up so late. I just want to kiss him, and he wants to just rip my face off. because he's at that age where he just snatches at your face and scratches
he's
your
face. He's discovered his nails.
Dude, his nails are fucking adamantium. The other day when I was in Japan, one of my aunts was like, oh shit, what happened? Did you fall drunk or something? And it was like, no, he clawed out like half of my cheek skin. I did not go face surfing on the pavement.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite pastimes in my 20s, face surfing on the
just
pavement.
Just face surfing on the pavement, dude. Call me Kelly Slater.
I do love that your aunt in this scenario is like comfortable enough with you to be like, you fall drunk, bro.
Well, that's just how like, you know, Asian culture is. It's like, there's no punches pulled. They're like, what, did you fall down drunk because you all fucked up? Or it's like, oh, wow, is it because you ate too much last night? Because I saw how much you ate last night. Is that why your whole center of gravity was off? That's how you felt? I'm like, no, the baby ripped my skin off. Now, next question.
Whereas my entire life is just moving from one pulled punch to another. Just a steady dance-like movement from one pulled punch to another.
People know. People, the immigrant families know. It's direct to your face and a cause for a lot of therapy and the cycles we're trying to break. And also we wrestle with the fact, like, but it's love, I think. Or wait, is that a toxic way to... I don't know.
What happened, man? You got a crippling problem or something? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
She's like, what is that cut on your face?
One of them was like, wow, you're a lot balder.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you know, time. That's the shit. Time has come today for my hairline. Time. But yeah, that's just how it is. That's just how it works. That's just how it works out there. People know. Yeah. If you know, you know. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Pulling up on that. I don't know the rest of those lyrics, but I do know those are the first words. Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant comedian, writer, actor. He is riding a recumbent bike in his short shorts. He is the inventor of the idea to refer to one's legs as plumpers. He's got a bunch of great stand-up albums you should go check out right now. He is Blake Wexler!
Blake! Hey, this is Blake Wexler, a.k.a. he spends his nights in California interviewing stars on his podcast. My name is Blake, and I wonder, why can't that be me? If I could be like Jack, I'd give anything. I'd even watch Arsenal wearing Miles' shoes. If I could be like Jack, what would I do, Lord? What would I do? This is an iHeartMedia production, a collaboration with iHeartPlayers.net. I am so happy to be here. Thank you, guys.
One of the
iHeartPlayers. You found out about our collaboration with iHeartPlayers?
iHeartPlayers.
iHeartPlayers. Exactly.
I love it.
50-50 venture between us and Ryan Seacrest. Seacrest, big fan. Big fan.
Seacrest, love him. Seacrest out.
From no Seacrest here. We tell the whole truth.
I see crest, I eat crest, and I've been saying that for years. Well, listen,
Blake,
what's new, I secretly love this line of jokes that we're venturing down.
I could care less about the team struggling. I wish I'm so not sharp right now. It's like I'm about to run off to go drink coffee or something to jumpstart my brain. Yeah. I've been up just holding a baby, trying to get them to fall back asleep for, I don't know, like 5 hours straight. It doesn't work like that, apparently. You can't just
repeating
on,
the phrase, come on, guy. Mind, shut the fuck up, like a... like a Buddhist cone.
Yeah.
Like, just sleep, sleep, to the sleep, point.
Sleep, motherfucker. Sleep, motherfucker. Miles, sleep.
Yeah.
One step of footprints. That's because I was carrying you through this podcast. So don't worry.
I'm here thank for you. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Need you, podcast, Jesus, please.
Thanks for having me.
Jesus with great legs. Great to have you, Blake. I feel like his tunic should have been more shortcut sometimes, you know? Like,
thank you. Yeah.
What do you mean on the cross?
He was showing a lot on the cross.
He was showing, like, he's giving you a lot
walking,
on the cross.
The robe is usually very flowy, where it's like, let's see those legs, man. You got a great body.
Don't be a prude, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little higher slit on that tunic. You know what I mean? Let the fucking quads fly, baby.
Thank you.
And I know it's about a triune God, but you can allow this quad concept through, sir.
Thank you. See, you've got it. Level what up. Do you mean you're jet lagged?
Slowly, slowly, it takes that talks of perfect. Christ. Thank you. See, I had to call on Jesus.
The blessings come in.
The blessings come in.
Blessings come in.
Blake, how are you doing? How was your break? We hung out right before
How's your break, Blake.
Mm-hmm. Break, Blake.
Blake's break was Winter Blake was great. We found out that we stayed 3 miles away from one another in Florida, didn't even make an attempt to see one another because we have that sort of respect for one another.
That's right.
We didn't want to ruin each other's breaks by seeing one another.
Right around the same place in the same town.
You found out in real time or after the fact?
After the fact.
Before.
Right?
Oh, okay.
No. Before.
Right?
Yeah. In real time, like as we were ending the recording, we were like, oh, so what are you doing?
And then you're like, that's right down the road. You're like, cool, man. Well, don't call me.
All right. Well,
we
got a lot of my see our families.
Wait, so Blake, what's your connection to that? That's where your in-laws stay at?
My in-laws are there. Yeah.
In the area?
And it was like Fort Myers, Naples, Bonita Springs area. And I mean, it was beautiful. We went out on a boat. We towed another boat because this is the most Florida thing I hope I ever say, like God willing, from my lips to God's ears to your mouths. I really hope that this is the most Florida thing I ever say, where we towed a boat because a boat hit a dead iguana that was in the Gulf, and it blew up the engine. Like the engine couldn't handle, or the motor, the propeller couldn't handle this, the core scales of this fallen beast, this land beast, which I don't even know why it was in the water.
They like the water.
Yeah,
they like
we had to tow a boat.
Yeah.
Wait, and how did this, was someone like waving a flag, like, hey,
like, you're like, we hit a dead iguana.
And then were you doing that thing? Or if that was me, I'd be like, no, they're trying to fucking rob us, bro. Keep going.
I was like, I want nothing, absolutely nothing to do with this. Luckily, we were within eye line of like many houses. We were kind of going through a little, but if we were out to sea, I'd be like, oh, sorry, hope everything's okay over there.
Sounds like bullshit.
No, I would never. That's an old pirate's trick. Hit a dead iguana.
Yeah, it does sound like the excuse I would have come up with if I had to on the spot make up a reason why our boat was fake stranded.
I'm like, out here?
We hit a dead iguana?
A cow. A sea cow. a manatee, I mean.
Yeah.
Yes, a manatee is what we hit.
Or a man in a t-shirt. One of the two.
Difficult
a man
to
in
tell.
A tall tee. One of the tallest tees I've ever seen got caught in our rudder. He capsized our boat.
Oh, well, good for you. You're a good Samaritan out there. Bless you.
Yeah. One of the best Samaritans you'll meet. Yeah.
Yeah, top five Samaritans. We've always said that about
you.
Right. New York Times, LA Times, the Cedar Rapids Tribune has all called
absolutely.
Me one of the top Samaritans of 2022. Yeah.
Top Samaritans 2020. Yeah, it is outdated, actually. And you've done some things that have, they've had to issue retractions on a couple of those, but we're not talking about the retractions. We're talking about the articles themselves.
Print journalism's dead.
Blake, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We're talking about the Hague hearings concerning allegations of Israel's genocidal intent in Gaza that is being brought by South Africa. It's being
brought. What do they know? What do they know about apartheid?
Yeah, what do they know about apartheid or genocide? We're going to talk about just the state of like fake documents, fake images. There were like fake Epstein documents that came out in the batch of documents that dropped last week. But I don't know. It's just like confusing. Like the stuff that is fake is like in there with real stuff that like basically proves the same point. And it's all driven somehow by Aaron Rodgers being the stupidest guy who has ever convinced himself that he is smart. And then we're going to talk about that AI George Carlin set that is making the rounds that everyone's talking about. Yet another one of these things where people are like, AI is here, folks, and it's funny. Professional writers, time to be scared. And I'm not fully buying it. Mm. We'll talk about why. All of that, plenty more. But first, before we get to any of it, Blake, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history? Sir Chistery.
So Sir Chistery was beheaded I believe in 1651,
yes,
but for treason. And so my search history is espresso. I pronounce espresso expresso for some reason.
Wow. And because you're a 5-year-old.
Because I'm a 5. Wexpresso is what I'm working on.
Oh, okay. It's
costing me.
Okay.
It's honestly financially ruining my family. But no, espresso temperature. Because I got an espresso machine and it didn't taste that hot or didn't feel that hot to the mouth. To the mouth in question.
To the untrained mouth.
Feel that hot to the mouth.
Yeah.
To the mouth, the untrained mouth.
To the untrained, of course.
But of course, an expert espresso connoisseur espresso will mouth, know that this is actually very hot. It's just, like, doesn't seem that way.
Thank you. So I asked the search history through by means of Google, and they said the proper espresso temperature is around 170 degrees Fahrenheit, and my machine was barely hitting 130, which is quite a discrepancy.
Yeah.
So I think I have to return.
Disgrace,
the
I would say.
I kept messing around.
I'd go in a different direction.
Disgrace.
Yeah.
Disgusting and offensive and an intentional slight against my now financially ruined family and I. So yeah, it's interesting where I generally don't have a high tolerance for hot, you know, where my wife can just drink any the hottest coffee in the world, like boiling water, and be fine.
Asbestos mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, asbestos mouth. And that's actually just what we've called her for years, irrespective of this.
Yeah. Man, because when she gets to spit in that shit, it's toxic.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? No, for sure. Yeah, it's and my mouth is also lined with insulation that has carcinogens in it. But no, so yeah, apparently that's the proper temperature for
170
espresso. 170. Keep it hot.
I've noticed that, like, I can when I'm making drip coffee and I'm like really eager to get it. You know, I'm like sitting there watching it brew. I'm just like get in my veins. When you pour it, it's actually not hot enough yet. It's below the, like it needs a good 5-minute sit on the little burner there in a lot of cases.
Oh, when you have like the little hot plate under?
Yeah.
Thing? Mm-hmm.
It relies on that hot plate. I thought like the brew was going to be hot enough, but in my experience.
I don't drink it. Well, yeah, we use a Chemex at the house. So it's never going to be that hot. Although that's why you can put it like on a stovetop just to get like warm it up. Although I'm not like such a rigid coffee drinker where I'm like it has to be I'll drink that shit at room temperature because I'm just here for the light bits of caffeine that barely do anything.
Yeah, Chemex, like that's how I'm picturing. I don't know the Chemex machine, and I'm picturing like a Push-A-T style setup of like how you're making coffee.
Oh no, it's you haven't seen a Chemex. It's just like a hourglass shaped glass, basically, and you put a paper filter on top, and you just it's a pour over thing.
Okay,
it looks like my physique. If you're trying to picture what this, if I was made of glass, it's what my body.
I think all of our physiques, V-shaped torso, plumpers down,
just
low.
Thick ass.
Yeah, exactly. With a little glass bead in the front.
Is it specifically designed for that, or are you like kind of MacGyvering that together? The Chemex.
Designed for what? Making coffee?
Making coffee? Yeah.
Yeah, it's meant for making coffee.
All right. I just want to make sure it wasn't like something you just like science labbed together.
You're looking at a picture and you're like, how are you going to make coffee with that?
I'm looking at a picture in my mind's eye.
It could look like an anonymous glassware situation. Like, I understand it could look like it's. Yeah,
It's not clear that the filter goes up top.
All right. Yeah. Now I'm looking at a picture.
Yeah. Like I was saying, like, yeah, man, I steal an Erlenmeyer flask from the local high school chemistry lab and I use paper towels for the filter.
Yeah. What, Blake, is something you think is overrated?
Overrated great white sharks. And I've been on a real shark. I know, and they'll come for me, and I'm ready because I've been on a shark.
Look at his beady. Jack just lowered his brow. He's in fucking attack mode right now. But anyway, going me right now.
No, my eyes rolled over white. That's how I'm in attack mode.
He's just warped into a great white, and he's attacking someone right now.
Yeah. You've always had multiple rows of teeth that I found horribly off-putting, but now I didn't know your eyes could do that as well.
Horrible dental procedures that didn't work when I was a kid.
It's not because you're part demon fish. It's because your orthodontist was an absolute disaster. It's actually just one row of one tooth, like, yeah. 15 teeth.
Like, but what if the teeth were bigger?
Let's sharpen this gomper up. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're my greatest creation, Jack.
Yeah.
That's so gross to think about. But, yeah, I think that the bull shark should receive more notoriety than the great white, because it's a fucker of a shark. Where I'm reading this book called Close to Shore, which was about these like Jersey Shore shark attacks in 1916, I think.
Yeah,
and back in the day. Way back in the day, we remember it. It's fuzzy, but I do have a memory of it. And
it's what Jaws is like partially based on. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Have you read it? Or do you know, like, or just, you know,
I'm just familiar. Okay. I know of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good book. And so it's very shark centric. I've been watching a lot of Nat Geo shark shows, and this bull shark has more bite power than the great white, smaller, but still more bite force. And then it can also, this is what freaked me out, is that it can go in fresh water comfortably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it can, like, you can be bathing in a river where you think you're out of the shark zone. And look who fucking shows up to the party. It's a bull shark. So anyway, I think this shark's a freak.
And so some of the attacks in that book, I hope I'm not spoiling anything for you, Blake. I'm assuming you're beyond like the fifth page. Some of the attacks in that book do happen in freshwater bodies, right? Like the shark starts moving up into streams and shit. Yeah, the bull shark, like, they think that the bull shark is responsible for a majority, like, a lot of the attacks that get attributed to great whites.
Yes.
The bull shark is, like, secretly that bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then your favorite shark's favorite shark right here.
Right.
This is a shark guy's shark, you know? The bull shark is Cat Williams. The great white is Cedric the Entertainer. And the tiger shark is Steve Harvey.
The bull shark is Mark Curry.
So is that what, like, Cat Williams came on and was accusing other people of, because this was something that hit the zeitgeist, but that I didn't fully, like, follow up on. But we might as well. I mean, we're like the know your meme of,
I mean,
podcasts.
He said a lot in that interview.
I listened to every second of that interview. Yeah.
He accused a lot of popular comedians like Kevin Hart, Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer of
Tiffany Haddish, even
being like ripoff artists, basically stealing jokes.
Some people had that ripoff shit was mostly at Cedric and Steve Harvey, like where, you know, Cedric the Entertainer like ripped off a bit about black people riding a spaceship and like was doing a lot of the same mannerisms. Steve Harvey was taking shit from Mark Curry. To the point where a lot of these videos, like, I've seen before, like, they were just kind of like these sort of like, I saw them in like YouTube videos, like, yo, I think this guy's stealing Mark Curry's material. But yeah, Cat Williams definitely just was like, hey, check, there's receipts.
You know what's wild to think about?
It's great.
Like, Joe Rogan, the first time I started hearing about him on the internet, like, other than his fucking Fear Factor career, I was like, oh, that's the Fear Factor guy, was him accusing Carlos Mencia of stealing jokes and being like, I'm the guy who tells it like it is. And this guy, is it your favorite comedian, Carlos Mencia, is a joke thief. And I remember I had my hand over my mouth for three straight days.
But the mind of Mencia is so great.
I thought they sprung fresh and whole cloth from the mind of Mencia. That was the promise of the show.
I remember he was like, your name's Ned. Like, I remember it was like the big thing. He was like, okay. Yeah. Like,
that's right. Well,
that was wild. And also the insanity of if a comedian was on stage and then was yelling, hey, come up here with me in an argumentative tone, in no way would I walk back onto stage to be like verbally degraded.
Is that what he did? He fact checked him at a stand-up show.
Just dressed him down. We'll probably get more into this maybe with the AI George Carlin conversation, but there is a certain amount of shit as a stand-up that is kind of baked into your career that you have to deal with. I mean, just like any other career, yeah, where dealing with a shitty boss or whatever, but there is a certain thing of, oh, when you reach X amount of success, people are going to lift, steal X amount of, whether it's actual, like, a joke or your, some people have called premise. It an aura, you know, or like your right. persona or whatever. So, but I think, yeah, Cat Williams was like, well, this actually exceeded that percentage that I'm comfortable with. And then, yeah, took right. them. It's, yeah. it's a wild interview. It's sick.
Especially when it gets into like lifting full on physicalities, like of the joke. Yes. And you're like, sir, that's not even close to parallel thinking. Like, it's one thing right. when like an event happens and like everyone on Twitter is doing some version of the same joke or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this was just like, oh, yeah, you watched that special and you just thought because it was in the 90s, people don't fucking remember that shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. He accused somebody of stealing like the whole physicality of a joke. And it was.
Yeah, there's one like, yeah, where Cedric is doing this whole thing, this whole bit about like black people on a spaceship, like driving it like an old Cadillac, like with music and yeah. shit. And like Cat Williams is the exact, like, you know, his original bit is like he's doing so much of the same shit. It's wild.
That's wild.
But my favorite part of it, this is the most devastating part to me, where he was, you know, he's again, Cat Williams is taking down these, you know, comedic legends. And then he goes, Earthquake never had a television show because he is illiterate. He can't read the cue cards, and then just moved on. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and then he praises Earthquake. He's the best comedian ever. He just didn't have that, you know, like crossover. But I'm like, oh my
but
God,
I'm
you
saying
have to call
mean stuff.
Illiterate.
And this yeah. is
he's one of the greats. He looks like shit and can't read. He's damn fancy.
Jeez.
Relax, Kat.
Fuck, man.
Oh, like fanning myself.
It's like
my
really well done takedown of all these people, and then just yeah. and this motherfucker
tragically
his teeth are
is
all
illiterate.
Over the place.
He can't read.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do an underrated. We'll get into the news. We'll do it all. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. That's my George H.W. Bush. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
I saw it. I caught it.
You okay. Caught it.
All right, Herbert Walker.
I stole the aura of George H.W. Bush for that throat commercial.
It's not going to cut through.
What's something that you think is underrated, Blake Wexler?
Underrated, I have cheese curds.
And okay.
I found that I would almost like a fried cheese curd more than a mozzarella stick. And also I had poutine. I was up in Vermont doing shows over the weekend. And poutine is, I think, it also an incredibly underrated food. It can be I think if done wrong, it could be probably one of the most visually, even when done right, it's visually disgusting to look at, but it's absolutely delicious. So cheese curds, which I looked up what type of cheese they were, and apparently it's a baby cheddar, which I don't know what constitutes a youth in a cheese, but it is a baby, little young cheese.
Cut down in its prime.
Yeah.
It's how long it's been like aged, right? Because like some shit's been in there for years, and I think baby just means like it's not even been in there for like a month or two or something like that.
And in there meaning in the mama mozzarella's belly?
In the mama mozzarella's belly,
yeah. Yeah,
it will stay in like a marsupial. It's just all inside of that fleshy sack and comes out delicious after 5 or 10 years or whatever.
First of all, I respect, Blake, the degree to which you were not willing to fully commit. You're like, I would almost like a fried cheese curd more than a mozzarella stick.
I think it was the most controversial thing ever
uttered on the podcast.
No. I'm going to leave a little bit of gray area here.
It could be said that one might almost like a fried cheese curd more than...
Not me. One.
Yeah, not me. And I'm speaking purely in hypotheticals here.
No, absolutely.
The squeakiness of the cheese curd is... How does that sit with you? Is that part of the appeal? Is that just a weird byproduct?
So a third party member of society who I would not pledge nor claim to be could or could not say that they only eat cheese curds with noise canceling headphones on playing the loudest music that you could possibly have, which then mitigates if there even is a squeak. I'm not saying there is. I don't know if anyone has definitely said that there is, but if there is one, it would therefore cancel out that sound potentially. If so,
that's smart cheese curding.
When you say squeak, you just mean because it's like kind of chewy.
You ever chew on it and hear a little squeak? It's got a little squeak to it.
I never
have your teeth ever done that.
Mine might still be alive when I'm eating them. Yeah. That might be what
it was in the first trimester.
Yeah,
I think the baby last time
mozzarella.
I think I had poutine when we did that live show in Canada when we were in Toronto.
In Toronto?
And I was like, oh, because I'm up here. Like, let me just, I know it's not Quebec or whatever where the shit is real lift, you know, real fucking wild. But I think I just wasn't in the right mindset to be listening to my mouth as I was eating. I think I was like half watching, you know, 90 Day Fiancé blasting out of a laptop or something.
Yeah. I think I've had cheese curd maybe unfried, uncooked, and that's where the squeakiness came from. Anyway.
I mean, it's when you search it, it says it's known for its squeaky texture.
Yeah. Squeaky texture, baby. I've never eaten anything with a squeaky texture other than cheese curds and like balloons, maybe.
Yeah,
But like
what I used to chew on flavored condoms like gum.
Yeah, that was a sick move.
Very squeaky. Well, because it was cool because I was inspired by the Coneheads movie because then you can just blow a big balloon out when you go.
You ever seen people put a condom out a window and then see how big that fucker blows up to?
Yeah, man. Lost my job at the car dealership because of that.
I put a condom over my head and then I like blow through my nose and that condom like expands. That's my bit that I do.
Yeah. And that's wholly original. And the aura, I heard that Howie Mandel in the 1980s actually stole your aura on that one.
Were people doing that on stage?
Yeah.
It was Howie Mandel's famous bit.
Wow.
I mean, famous, I guess, might be a matter of perspective, but that is like, it was his first big bit where he would put it over his head because I think he was I understand the confusion. He was bald, so his head looked like a penis.
Yes. That's
why he put it over
there. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
He also had like the album of his album. He had an album, comedy album called Fits Like a Glove, and he's wearing a full on medical exam glove on his head while blowing it up.
Yeah.
So he was all about that latex.
Before he was bald, too.
Yeah. Maybe it was always a glove. I just repurposed it as a condom so I wouldn't get, you know, because it's different enough where you can't get.
And because you work blue, because, you know.
Right.
That's your
I'm
thing.
Disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just trawling for jokes on the floor of the ocean. Yeah, I get it.
I'm a truth teller.
It was a glove. Find a new angle. It wasn't a condom. It's not disgusting.
And it's a normal joke, okay? It's a normal bit of prop comedy. Find a new angle. All right. Little Sixers reference.
Yeah.
People paying attention.
Crazy. It's crazy that you just said that. It's a joke.
This show's just mostly inside jokes at this point.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Mm-hmm. All right. And people let's on talk like, about the Discord Hague.
Being like, what does that fucking thing mean they keep saying all the time?
Are they?
Sometimes, yeah. Like, look.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Luckily, we got a lot of people who've been listening since day one who are holders of the canonical information of the show. So we appreciate y'all.
They're telling.
Sorry to all our new listeners. Off to the Hague. You don't want inside jokes about the 76ers from like 7 years ago? Fine. We're going to the Hague. Are you happy
about this? Yeah.
Yeah. So the Hague hearings concerning allegations of Israel's genocidal intent in Gaza just began. The case was brought by South Africa, who likened Israel's treatment of Palestinians to their own history of apartheid. And the case is, I mean, it's hugely important, obviously, if the court finds it even plausible that a genocide is being committed, they could order a range of legally binding measures, including a complete cessation of military activities. And I think I don't know that I believe that Israel would be like, damn, got us. I guess we're going to stop. But it is drawing a lot of attention to the shit that is being like that. They're just using Israel, like their evidence against Israel is just Israel. Like there's
yeah,
all
like,
these
here
posts,
are quotes. Yeah.
Here are posts by soldiers and politicians proudly documenting atrocities. And then like there's a filing that contains over 4 pages of public pronouncements of more than 14 officials, which are pretty hard to read as anything but an incitement to genocide, you know?
Well, like, yeah, and it's when people like with stuff like it's a fight against light and dark and like we will break their backbone and things like that. It's kind of like,
I
don't know if rhetorically that's the best route there. But I mean, here we are. It's just like the timeline, I think, is the like while this is I think obviously the real important thing here is that it's being brought on like an international stage, because depending on where you live, it might not get as much coverage as it would be in other places. But this is now, you know, fully on the international stage for people to discuss. Now, I don't know to what length it will be discussed, but it also takes a very long time, like given that like a case that was brought against Myanmar about the crackdown on the Rohingya people, that's still in trial, like after what, almost 5 years. Yeah. So it's going to be a lengthy process for sure.
It is. I think it's important for the mainstream media to be forced to cover some of the stuff that I don't think they've done a great job of like covering to the degree that they would have if like these things were being said by Palestinians, you know?
Right.
Like the backbone one. So that statement starts with, it's an entire nation out there that is responsible. It's not true, this rhetoric about civilians not aware, not involved. It's absolutely not true. We will fight until we break their back. Like that, straight up, like that's just them saying there are no
collective
innocent
punishment.
Civilians.
Yeah, and that's, right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It is ongoing. Israel's response seems to be to claim that South Africa is functionally a wing of Hamas. And... yeah, so
that's the new attack on your haters is like, well, that's you're just being Hamas. So
yeah. I'm not
going to listen to whatever is going on.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the outcomes here. I'm very curious about like what can happen, you know, because on one hand, it's like, well, what is binding? What can be like what actually can be done if this decision is reached. And it's not quite clear, like what exactly could happen. I mean, at least like when you look at other like past examples, but also when you think about how, you know, George Bush was like, we'll fucking invade the fucking Hague if you try and, like, you know, bring some of our people in on war crimes charges. You're like, okay, well, then there's got to be something there that you don't like. Otherwise, you wouldn't make it the policy to be like, we'll fuck your whole shit up.
We will fight you in war? How's that sound?
Yeah.
We will fight this court. We'll fight this court's army, which, you know, courts have armies. I think it's a weird thing to, where hopefully the, like, PR, for lack of a better word, where I don't think it's necessarily resonating with enough people that, like with the UN, you know, like how the UN feels, or how every other country in the world feels about, you know, what Israel's doing right now versus what the United States government's doing to either stop it and or like encourage it. And I think it's not really sinking in, where hopefully you hear The Hague, that's supposed to be a fairly, like a white knight or whatever. Like, it's a fairly unassailable group. Where if that group is saying, hey, this is fucked up, hopefully that allows some, like, more people to listen and can contextualize it in a way that, you know, going it alone where everybody else says this is an absolute nightmare and needs to be stopped immediately doesn't. Yeah. But I'm with you. I don't know if it's like a sanction thing or what it can actually do, but
yeah. It's not enforceable necessarily, but it is, I think, important in terms of the court of public opinion.
Right.
Like where it is pretty clearly, like the lines are pretty clearly drawn in most places in the world, but in the U.S., there's still this massive disparity of how things are covered.
Right. And what an ally Israel has in the U.S. when it comes to The Hague saying shit. They're like, dude, that's just like their opinion, man. Like, they say shit about us all the fucking time. You know what I mean?
Oh, shut
like,
up, Hague.
In one ear, out the other. Okay. It's all about this empire. So I think that's what's also a little, for me, I'm like, damn, because this is a country that is not wanting to hear anything about what an international court of justice would have to say about this government's actions. So it's, it'll break through everywhere else. But over here, we keep the blinders on to try and just stay focused on like, hey, we're number one. Just the rest are fucking, they're just hating.
USA, we're number one. Israel, in addition to, you know, saying South Africa is functionally a wing of Hamas, claims that their statements to this point have erased all the hard work that they put in, focused on distinguishing innocent civilians from enemy combatants, that would be amazing. Like, if they just, like, came with all this evidence tomorrow, they were like, psych, guys, we're not, like, we haven't harmed a single, like, we're making sure we don't harm any innocent people. I'd love to see that. That would be great news, but I just have not seen that.
But it looks like everything is to the contrary.
It's to the direct opposite.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, like, because this kind of ties into the next story, but, like, because the information that we get is, like, so just choked with bullshit at this point, like, it's, I think, serving a purpose for them to be bringing, like, some of these statements into an actual court and be like, these were said, like, that we have evidence that these were said, because so much of the arguments that I've seen on both sides has been like, well, this is, you know, this is fake news, this is propaganda. And there's been a shitload of propaganda and fake news. So I think it's also important for delineating that, but I don't know. There was a story about, like, the fake Epstein documents that came out that were, like, one of them was, so the AP does this thing every week where they're like, not the news, like, what didn't happen this week, essentially. And it's like focusing on the lies that got spread around on social media. And one of them was like, for instance, there was a lie that Stephen Hawking and Jimmy Kimmel were included in the Epstein document dumps. But then, like, so I was like, oh, I had fully thought that Stephen Hawking, like, was mentioned in those documents, and, like, he was. So he was. They were just debunking, like, one specific thing that was said, but it's just, like, so, and, like, there's fake pictures of Trump with Epstein and Clinton with Epstein that are being debunked, but it's like, yeah, but there are pictures of them with him, like, that, you know. So there's
right.
And then then Kimmel gets thrown in there, and Kimmel wasn't mentioned at all by anyone except for fucking Aaron Rodgers, who was mad at him for making jokes about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Did you see Kimmel's monologue that he did recently and just fucking took the time to like, watch me just, I'm going to just cook your ass right now.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, but, yeah. He devoted a good bit of his monologue to just coming for that dude. No, I mean, but the Epstein docs, like, to your point, is like, there's already a bit of confirmation bias there that people are experiencing with, like, people are like, well, we know powerful and influential people were like in orbit of Jeffrey Epstein. It's like, but who is it or whatever? And all it takes is just a couple things to be like, yeah, okay, I believe that. Rather than having to actually go through the process of like, who is actually named and what the details are of that. Because like, what were the details of Stephen Hawking?
So Stephen Hawking was included in the documents because there were allegations that he was like at an orgy and
got it.
Epstein had like, but that wasn't what was in the documents. What was in the documents was Epstein emailing somebody being like, I want to put together a reward for anyone who can prove that he wasn't at this orgy that he was allegedly at in relation to allegations being made by the victim. And then he was at a big conference that was put on at, I think, the island
with like other scientists.
Right.
Right.
So he's like in the mix, having been around Epstein. So are a lot of scientists. So the story that was getting spread around that was false, like it hadn't made it to me, but like it's, I think like one of the pieces of media literacy that we're going to need to work on is like, was this written by a dumb person? Like, was this made up?
What is it alleging?
Because like the alleged thing is like Stephen Hawking would like have sexual encounters with like slur for small person, and then like he would like write equations on a board that like they couldn't reach, and like that got him off. And
it's like
I'm, oh, like, okay,
I'm
so
like, Stephen Hawking,
small,
the man in the chair, he was using the chalkboard,
right?
For real.
It's like anytime that it is like based on the premise that little people are hilarious, it's like, oh no, this is just written by a dumb person,
right?
Like I don't know. I truly, like, I don't know how to answer the question of, like, media literacy in an age where there's just going to be so much flooding of the zone with bullshit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think because we're all used to, at least, like, people our age and older, like, we were brought up on, well, it was on TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was kind of, like, it. Like, that shit was, like, the God's gospel truth was, like, well, the shit was on TV. Like, yeah. and then we're like, oh, okay, so there's such thing as bullshit there. And now it's like, well, it was on this website. And now it's like, well, now there's pictures. And now we have to figure out too that, dude, the way these generative AI tools are getting, the pictures will pass the fucking eye test pretty quickly if you're not being discerning enough. Yeah. Which is why, like, a picture of Trump on a jet with Epstein with a bunch of young women in it, like, it just connects a bunch of dots of allegations. You're like, oh, that picture has to be real.
Right.
When, in fact, it wasn't. And it's interesting, too, because I think, like, Mark Ruffalo shared some of those. And he was like, oh, my bad. I didn't realize these were fake. But it's like, the fact remains, there's still plenty of pictures of Donald Trump with Jeffrey Epstein that are not fake.
Yeah. He's just not on the jet.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's when you're in this weird space where you're like, well, I know there's pictures. Like, that's not contested. So it's easy for these other things to kind of to set in. And, yeah, I don't know if, like, yeah, we just have to wait for like the Bureau of propaganda analysis or whatever, having like the AP or the Reuters types doing these sort of corrections to sort of like wait before doing these things. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to say, because like the things I've seen with that Midjourney does, I'm even like, oh shit, okay. Ooh,
Yeah.
I might have been fooled by that.
Yeah, I feel like we need like a government funded full time like bullshit debunking agency. Like, truly, like, what? Like, it seems like a silly idea, because like, what, you know, you can't trust the government. But like, honestly, you just, first of all, so many out of work journalists, like, so this is a great way to use them. And like, that's honestly what we're going to need at a certain point. Not that like everybody's going to trust it, but like, something big needs to happen to address like how just awash the universe is going to be in bullshit for the foreseeable future until like something is done. It's going to be a complete mess.
It's interesting because of that, Trump was even like, we need more laws around AI. It's
like, wow, even though, got his attention.
Yeah. It's like, but bro, like there's a lot that is, but it's also given him a very convenient way to now fucking spin shit for his supporters too. Like now people are like, that's AI.
Yeah. It's
these pictures that existed from 30 years ago.
Like creating AI images of Trump and Clinton with Epstein is like, that's doing them a favor. Because it's like making the whole thing like seem suspicious.
A little more
dubious,
that
is true about them. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is on wax, like being like, Jeff is a great guy, a good friend of mine. And it said he likes beautiful women, some of them very young,
maybe even
more than I do. It's like, yo, what?
Easy.
And then, you know, the main victim in this case is somebody who was recruited from Mar-a-Lago. So there's plenty there. It's just like some of the images are fake, but now it's really confusing. Fortunately, I think we can all just take a break from it all, sit back and watch some good old fashioned AI stand-up specials from long dead comedians. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back, talk about George Carlin. I'm glad I'm dead.
Oh boy.
We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And this is, again, this is another one that, like, my brain just doesn't fully, I'm not fully understanding or, like, knowing exactly what to do with. But there's an hour-long George Carlin stand-up special that was recently released called George Carlin, I'm Glad I'm Dead, which a computer simulation of George Carlin riffs on contemporary topics such as mass shooting, social media, Elon Musk. It is a good impression of George Carlin, is what it sounds like you're listening to. The jokes are better than I thought AI was capable of. They're not good. they're just like, instead of being a C minus impression of like what George Carlin would write, they're like a C plus, like an undergraduate. Like if you like taught a course on like how to write like George Carlin, this would be like a C plus undergraduate version of that, which right. seems like to me to be about where AI has consistently been. Also, like, it's not clear to me, like, so the AI itself is called Dudezy. It's in a podcast with a couple comedians, and, like, people think it might actually just be a hoax. And, like, they're actually...
Yeah, it's like Will Sasso, I think, is yeah. one of the guys in Dudezy. Yeah.
Yeah. And they, Will Sasso from, like, Mad TV, he was, like, very big on Vine, I think. And yeah. It's just, like, it seems like a bit. They are committed to the bit, and they're like, no, it's not a bit. Like, we were given access to this amazing AI, and it, like, runs our show for us and, like, tells us what to say and all this stuff. But it just seems like it's a podcast featuring a couple guys, like, working with comedy prompts that they wrote or, you know, somebody submitted to them.
But it is also, like, a... because this is something, just like anyone, any business where... everyone's afraid whether you understand AI really well or you have like a very loose grasp and you just hear snippets and you're like they're gonna come and take us over in robot form. Like, there is, it's neither extreme, but like when you said that it's a C plus for if it is AI, that's really good for how early days we are in terms of generative AI, and then just how quickly the machine learning can build upon that, because like it might have taken this amount of years to hit a C plus, but to hit a B minus is going to be like 75% quicker, and then to hit like a B plus is going to be quicker than that in terms of time. So it is a scary, or it isn't there, it's not even close to being there, but you will see jokes where if you enter whatever, like enter comedian here joke, it'll be like, oh, this comedian likes to complain about things, so it'll be a complaining joke, which is not that advanced, but right. it is getting better. So it's, I don't know. I hope we're starting to create laws on what, you know, or there's certain cases pending now where I think
the New York Times filed a case where
they were allowing OpenAI to scrape their, or OpenAI was like scraping their articles to kind of train it to write new articles. And
mm-hmm. yeah.
And yeah, I'm probably butchering that a little bit, but like, I hope that there now are going to start to be some sort of regulation in terms of, fuck, like we need to, like, yeah. Anyway, this is the one thing that touches me really closely. So I was like, we need, hopefully this is, we can read the breadcrumbs here and, you know, put some sort of regulation.
Well,
in, but
you guys should tune yeah. in, because I guess this is now is the time to say it, but Jack and I have trained an AI to do your material, and we're going to be dropping the Blake
45
album.
Specials yeah, that's, over yeah, the next that's, 45 that's great. Days. Good. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So you guys can go into debt as well. That's excellent. So yeah, I'm glad.
But even with this George Carlin thing, like, it's still contentious to me, because I was listening to it mm-hmm. and I'm like, I get that right now you can definitely create voice models, right? That you can get yeah. the shit sounding a certain way. I'm still dubious as to whether or not the joke writing is going to fully capture that, because we don't even know how the fuck they really did this. Like,
I think also, they wrote this. I think this yeah. was like written, like, somebody mm-hmm. entered the prompt into an AI like speech model, and then they used the rough draft that they got back to like punch it up, and yeah,
or they just fucking were like, dude, like let's just like, we love comedy, we love Carlin, like as a fun exercise, let's just write these Carlin style jokes, and then we can put it through the voice thing just to write mm-hmm. just to read the shit that we as humans wrote, and then just see what fucking comes out, and then maybe we have something there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why everything with AI is so fucking sketchy, especially when people are like, this shit's powered by AI. I'm like, right. Okay, how, motherfucker? Because mm-hmm. even with Dudezy, they're like, the whole show's based on AI. It's created by AI. It's all AI fucking. But what does that mean? And they haven't really revealed to what extent like any of that means, or like what the real methodology is. So it's, I feel like it's a really easy place to be snake oily right now and have people like, whoa.
Exactly. I think that's exactly right. It's just a way to do something and then get everybody to pay attention to it and throw money at you. Like, so having somebody write a decent, like C plus Like if I told you I had done this, I had written this George Carlin thing, like that you would, first of all, you'd be like, why did you spend your time doing
family.
That?
Yeah.
You have a family, you have better things to do. And like, you'd be like mildly embarrassed for me because like the jokes aren't like that good. They're like, you just, right.
We're texting,
you know,
each other, Blake, like, man, did Jack make you listen to that
Jack
Carlin
that
shit?
Carlin yeah, thing
I
is
told
like,
him it was good.
Like oh, you did? Place. You fucker.
Yeah,
you,
I said it was
I just wrote wow car. With no explanation, exclamation it. Points or anything. Just wow.
You know, he's working on a Richard Pryor one.
I know. It's the worst.
I told him, do not. I don't care. Even if you tell people it's AI, just do not go there.
He's taken some liberties with it that I don't even want to discuss.
So, like,
yeah, go ahead.
The double standard between like what we would give a, you know, mid-tier podcast host versus like AI, mm-hmm. you know, we're like, for a mid-tier podcast host, we're like that. Well, okay, man, like congratulations. And for AI, we're like, whoa, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. I think too, like, I think, you know, it makes sense where you said, I didn't think about this, where it probably is more of the voice model doing all of the legwork in terms of anything impressive here more than obviously like the writing is. So that does make a lot of sense. And, you know, people write for people like Adam Sandler has writers for his stand up, you know, so you can master someone's voice very well, which, you know,
yeah,
his
they made that documentary
do,
about it. Yeah. Funny people. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It was a great documentary. I didn't think it was long enough.
Yeah, it's just a little short for me.
5 or 6 hours, but I did really enjoy that. But yeah, it's so I think that is a really good point. I think contextualizing it where it's like, oh, humans did this. We're like, well, this is shit. Oh, this model did it. Oh my God, that's incredible. But I think it's just because of where we're at right now at this point in time. But that can evolve fairly quickly.
Like there are other efforts to get AI to write comedy and it's not been impressive. I don't know. I guess it's a matter of taste. People were using AI to write these jokes. And they said, so one of the jokes they got back was, why did the man put his money in the blender? He wanted to make time fly, which is...
Because time is money. Interesting.
Time is money.
Logic jump. Yeah.
But blenders don't make things fly regardless. So it doesn't
I'm writing this
fully...
down.
I mean, inside the blender...
Can I steal from AI? Is that okay? I don't want AI to steal from me, but can I steal that?
I mean, that's the AI. Point, is we're supposed to be able to use it as a tool, and that joke is fucking awesome. So,
it's fantastic. Your stupid audience doesn't get it, but mine do. Yeah. They're going to love
I like how it's going to be like, I don't know if you, have you ever seen like the freestyle rap battles that are really big on the, like on YouTube and shit that are like all acapella, like just two dudes in a crowd, just like spitting bars back and forth. Like sometimes the rhymes are so complex, even the rappers are like, hold on, let me run that back for you one more time. I said, it's all about the violins and I will hit him in that accordion. The accord he in also accordion, an instrument. Violins also meant violence. Like that the
why did the man put his money time
in the blender? Time is money. And it's
thank
like,
you.
Okay, but that's, I don't think they're
that we got it.
Complex.
That was the best one, by the way. That was the one they're like, and you know, they actually kind of hit a good one here. So just FYI.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
I mean, I think, again, this is another thing with media literacy or just our ability to be a little bit more skeptical about AI. And when people come waving that shit in your face, like being like, OK, well, what did it do exactly? Or is this just all people who are really good at prompting the AI that got these jokes? Or did you how did you generate this? Because, again, we are just already so blown away that this like the voices of people that are no longer here physically on Earth, like are able to be replicated in a way that's semi-believable. That's really the big thing at that point. We're like, oh shit, that shit sounds like Biggie. Oh, it sounds like George Carlin or whatever. But then when you look at like what the jokes are, it's like, it almost doesn't matter what it's saying because most people are just so amazed at the fact that the voice is there.
Yeah.
Like if it were text, you're like, look at this text thing of all these George Carlin jokes. People would be like, man, get this shit out of my face. I don't give a fuck. But it's the fact that you can marry that with the voice that like, it creates like this whole flea circus effect, you know, to borrow a reference from Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. You know, that has people like, oh my God, the bar is so low.
Yeah, it's like a parlor trick. Yeah, at this point.
I also feel like on the internet, we're having to get used to the reality that there's more bad comedy. Like, there's more unfunny people trying to be funny than at any time ever before. Right. And so, like, just the our, like, global shared consciousness is, like, just half, just hacky bullshit. And so I think it like fucks with our sanity a little bit in some ways, because like, I don't know, like the person whose jokes I'm hearing at least as much as like any funny comedian is like Elon Musk's attempts at humor, you know,
right?
Like, that shit is like making news, and then his acolytes, and it's just a weird time, a difficult time for our sanity, I think.
And there's no barrier of entry either now.
None.
In order to...
It's over.
So if you have a camera, if you have a phone, you know, you can post a video of you doing it. Yeah. And then to your point, like whatever catches on, like algorithmically, it probably won't be... Just mathematically speaking, there's only so many funny people in the world. And it's like, oh, this is not good. But then that becomes where the bar is. And then someone sees this online and or on TikTok, and they're like, wait, this is what people find funny, 2 million views, I can do this. And they're not even as talented as the fucking idiot with the 2 right. million views right. of a piece of shit video. So it just like keeps, it's a virus. It's a horrific virus.
Well, and also the model at which we even produce things is completely backwards. And mm-hmm. Roy Wood Jr., I think he was with Variety or something, he was doing this like sort of roundtable discussion, and he asked a very important question about saying, like, you know, what's more important, the talent or the audience? Because mm-hmm. it used to be a network, this is what I'm just sort of paraphrasing what he said, but it used to be like a network would find a talent and say, you know what, you have an amazing talent. Let's work together to find your audience and expand that together and make something of this. Whereas now it seems to be, well, what is this person's audience? Do they have a 2 million person audience?
Right.
Oh, they do? Well, then I don't give a fuck what the talent part is, because they already have a 2 million person audience that we could potentially tap into. And then his broader question was more about, he's like, well, then what do I need a network for if you're only looking for people that have built in audiences? What happened to the part of like actually cultivating some kind of talent and turning it into something? But
so
yeah, but now
you for money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but exactly now it's just more
everyone.
Like it's. Yeah, it's like, well, how many views do you have on X platform or whatever? That being the guiding principle, it's only going to elevate more and more of these people that are like not necessarily the most talented and have a talent to a certain extent. But what does that say of people who aren't as literate or savvy with using social media or the internet to like get their shit out there? And we're just leaving that behind in the name of easy views or whatever.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, our writer JM was saying that like, some people in the AI world think that comedy may end up being the true measure of machine intelligence. Like if they can finally eventually write jokes, like it's the thing that still evades them. Like one of the tests they did was trying to get the AI to match cartoons with their captions. And it was able to do it 62% of the time, which like people who we are dumb can do it 94% of the time. So it's like, it just doesn't, like, there's too much happening below the surface in making sense of comedy for it to compute at this stage of AI's development. So, you know, maybe like we're coming down to meet it a little bit. It's coming up to meet us. But
I feel like, yeah, we should just start grifting AI companies, like as people who know comedy. You know, obviously, we know everything about comedy. But like to actually be like, no, you guys, let me see how. No. That's you guys aren't connecting with the fucking kernel of truth here. It's making the fucking joke. And people are like, dude, this guy, like if you could just get it to improve by a couple percent, they'd be like, dude, give this guy fucking $9 million.
But I think that's what happened here. I think that like, because the other like premise of this idea, like if you're just going to be like, they typed George Carlin stand up special into AI and it spit out this. Like the premise of that is that the guy from Mad TV is on the vanguard of machine learning. Like,
right. What are the chances of that?
He has access to the greatest AI in existence currently, which feels unlikely to me. But
That would be so. What the fuck, that just sounds like a comedy film too, where like these dudes just like actually have got like to the god level intelligence just because they're so into comedy, and now all the governments of the world, they're the most sought after fucking people.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We shall see.
It does involve like a human understanding to do, not to, you know, glorify the one thing I do well, but like you do need to, in a joke, it's part empathy and like human observation. Yeah. And then you add in whatever the mathematical formula is, if it's a like a punchline, a misdirect, you know, or like a mister, like whatever it is. So, you know, it does seem difficult for some of the best jokes are subtle, inherent understandings that we have as people and have in common. And you just happen to point that out where, you know, I heard this like where it's like, oh, like, you know, the uncle at the barbecue and the way he holds his spatula or whatever that joke would be. And it's like, oh, my God, I do know that guy.
Right.
At the
that's
barbecue.
Completely based on human experience.
Exclusively. Where there's no formula really there. It's an observation that artificial intelligence couldn't possibly make. But then can it like actually learn what that observation, what the formula behind that observation looks
or could
like
it sift
this.
Through Twitter long enough to make that connection?
I just tried using like the ChatGPT function and like Bing AI, whatever that I have access to. I said, please write a joke in the voice of George Carlin about COVID lockdown measures. And it started doing it. It says, you know what I love about COVID? The lockdowns. Locking everything down. The safety. Keeping people healthy is like what it started doing. And then it just completely stopped itself. And then was like, I can't show anything. And I was like, what the fuck? So I prompted it again. And then it just said, I'm sorry, but I can't write jokes in the voice of other people. That would be plagiarism and disrespectful to their original work. I hope you understand.
What?
I was like, but you just went down that road.
Yeah. But it's also, it suggests that they tried and were like, this fucking sucks.
Like in the middle of it, bail on it.
I actually have some morals. I'm morally like, I can't do this stand-up bit. I actually have some fucking hilarious fire material that would burn down your computer. But yeah, unfortunately, ethics laws. Sorry, but they, you know, woke police won't let me.
Okay, I'm asking to do Chris Rock right now, and I'm seeing if I can get it. It says, okay, let me try that. It's like generating something right now. I'm going to read. You know what I hate about this COVID lockdown? It's not the mask. It's not the social distancing. It's not the vaccine. It's the fact that I've spent all day with my kids. Yeah, I said it. I love my kids, but I don't like them. They're annoying. They're loud. They're messy. They're stupid. They ask me questions I don't know answers to, like, daddy, why is the sky blue? Daddy, what's the meaning of life? Or daddy, who's that lady you were with last night? I don't know, kid. Ask your mother. This is actually keeps going. And don't get me started on homeschooling. Homeschooling is a joke. Okay, interesting. I wonder if George Carlin got flagged or something.
Yeah.
Because it's giving, or they're just saying like, yeah, steal from black artists. We don't care.
We're good. We're good.
Yeah, I don't know. That's fine. I don't know if racism or the news, but yeah, that's also not great.
I have this, I'm doing this like free trial right now of this like advanced generative AI model. And I typed in Daily Zeitgeist script and it just says, I have diarrhea. I'm dumb. I have big diarrhea. I'm so tired. Two kids. Bumpers, I have gumpers. Diarrhea. I'm so dumb. I have a kid. I'm dumb.
Wow.
Parenthetical long fart noise.
Long fart noise. Yeah, I was making the noise. It said parenthetical. I was making the noises, but it said parenthetical.
You're
fart
a performer.
Noises.
Yeah, you're not going to read the direction because you're a constant performer. No.
Well, yeah, now I'm a little scared because that is actually like a completely accurate depiction of. Wait, do they have access to all the stuff Justin edits out of the show? Because that,
all the farts? No. Yeah. There's no way, Jack.
The 20 I did up top, just saying I have diarrhea.
This says it does.
I don't know. If Justin is secretly training an AI with all the farts that you make on mic that we have to cut out, maybe.
Damn, man.
Maybe.
Blake, what a pleasure.
Likewise.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
People can find me at Blake Wexler on all social media in Philadelphia, February 3rd at Helium Comedy Club. I'm doing a show. It's not stand up. It's a tradition. It's a like a talk show on reviews. And it's we laugh about leaving reviews. I have my guests read reviews that they've left because I think it shows a part of your personality that you generally either want out there. It's a really, really, really fun show. And it's at the most reasonable time of 4:30 p.m. It's a matinee. It's a Saturday, February 3rd. It's going to be a great show. And yeah, BlakeWexler.com.
At least it's a Saturday. If it was like Tuesday,
it is a Saturday.
4:30, that would be rough.
It's like, I need you to get off work. I need you to leave work a little bit early, a half an hour early, and or just take off. And then my stand-up special, Blake Wexler, Daddy Long Legs, is still streaming on YouTube.
Amazing. Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Yes, there is. So I spent my day watching and rewinding 10,000 times a Stephen A. Smith diatribe against Jason Whitlock. Now, these are two of the biggest figures in sports and sports media. And have either of you watched this yet?
I saw the part where Jason Whitlock was coming for Steve. I think I saw like a condensed version, and then Stephen Smith just absolutely coming for him.
I've never seen anything like it in media. Generally, media members don't talk shit on one another, where Jason Whitlock is a very flawed human being who was very high up at ESPN for a while.
Very euphemistic description.
A horrific... Yeah, he's, and or as Stephen A. Smith would call him, a piece of shit. The worst... Stephen A. Smith said he's a fat bastard who is worse than white supremacist, Stephen A. Smith. So, guys, I'm telling you, it's unreal.
It's wild. It's wild too, like how other people throughout the day after the Jason Whitlock thing, like when Stephen A would start get going, like, hey Stephen, come on, you don't have to do that. Hey, come on, chill. And he was just, and you could be like, he's like, I cracked my knee that season. That's why I didn't play basketball. You're like, oh boy, this is all over the place.
It's wild. Yeah. So anyway, there's also like legit there, the journalism dynamic is also interesting if you're not into sports, but I cannot recommend it higher to you too. I think he put it out today or late last night. So yeah, Stephen A. Smith versus Jason Whitlock. It's on YouTube probably.
Whoever wins, we all lose. Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's the work of media you've been enjoying?
Before I tell you, just so you know, I also asked the Bing chat to do Richard Pryor, and it started giving me a lot of material before it cut itself off. And then I asked it to do Dane Cook, and it said, I'm sorry, Miles, I cannot do that right now.
I'm sorry, Dave.
I'm just like A-B testing black and white comics and just seeing how much the Bing chat will give me. Like, and at what point it feels it's, I don't know, again, we know it's a position. Anyway, so where you can find me at Miles of Gray, Twitter, Instagram, find Jack and I on a basketball podcast. Mad Miles and Jack on Mad Boosties. And also find me on 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. A tweet I like is from Kat Abu at Abu Ghazalay. Kat tweeted, country music by men. I love my tractor and beer and my pretty little lady. Country music by women. I'm about to commit a crime and is probably murdering my husband.
Yeah.
About right.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying. April Clark tweeted to my friend who just gave me an inch. Hey, brother, no worries if not, but do you happen to have a mile? And then Charlie James, non-binary cowboy, tweeted, ah, yes, bath mat. The bathroom Matthew, as it were. Full name of bath mat. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles.
Enjoy this track by Giggs from the UK. It's called Set It Off. It's just got like just workout energy. I'm thinking about lifting a weight later, so I think I'm gonna play this when I do that. Damn. And it's called Set It Off by Giggs.
One
and
weight
it's
got like, over and over.
It's got one of those big, big beats, you know, you like when you're going absolute demon mode in your garage.
On your assistant.
Oh yeah.
When you're going demon mode on your interns.
That is what Elon Musk claims he would go when he just was like sort of being mean to everybody who worked
abusive
for him.
Yeah. It's called demon mode.
That's when he would call demon mode. He would call demon mode. Cool, dude. All right. Well, we will link off to that in footnotes. Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this week. We're back this weekend with a review of everything, the weekly zeitgeist, and then back on Tuesday early to tell you what was trending over the long Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.